Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Like some of you, certainly not all, but like some of you, I woke up saying two very specific words. I said two, I mean three. Three very specific words. Having trouble counting today. Three specific words were the first words that I said this morning. Happy Mother's Day. Beth is here. Happy Mother's Day. Now, she knew that I was leaving the house last night. She didn't know why. I told her I had a secret errand to run because I had to go out and buy flowers. I forgot. So I had to go out and buy flowers and a card. The kids were better than me. The kids, Zach made a handmade card. Cameron wrote a poem. And so waking up this morning, we brought all of our gifts as well as breakfast upstairs to Beth. So she had breakfast in bed and she had cards and we had this little celebration. And then I left her with the kids to come here. And some of the Mother's Day joys that continue today. I'm wearing a shirt today that was a gift from my mother-in-law, so I continue to celebrate Mother's Day. I confess that I didn't have any Chucks that matched. So, but I knew that if I didn't wear Chucks matching or not, that somebody would give me a hard time for not wearing Chucks. So here we go. They are PBUMC Chucks, so there we go. So my continuing Mother's Day celebration. Today is my little sister Liz's first Mother's Day. Her daughter Ava is only a few weeks old, so it's her first Mother's Day. So we had a short text conversation. I say we had a short text conversation. It started when she texted me in the middle of last service. So I know that she knows what time worship is here, but... So a little bit of a text conversation with her. And later on today, I plan to reach out to my dad. You see, my sisters and I, we always reach out to our dad on Mother's Day because he raised us as a single parent. Which leads to the reminder that Mother's Day isn't always a happy day for everyone. This last September was 30 years since my mom died. And it was a pretty profound realization that not only have I lived longer without my mom than with her, but at this point, I have lived more on this earth than she did. And so Mother's Day for me is this wonderful and beautiful celebration, not only of my lovely wife, but also of the many, many people who have mentored and loved me in a number of ways, but also a time of grief and a time of sorrow. And I submit that for many of you, there may be some of this experience, some of this mixture. That while it is indeed right and appropriate to celebrate all of those who have been maternal or parental kinds of figures for us, that there may be that sense of grief. And that grief can be due to loss, due to death. It could be a sense of separation, whether that's a separation based on divorce or a separation based on mental illness or any of the many ways that we can experience separation. But we must talk about all of these things if we really want to be inclusive in our celebration of Mother's Day. The organization Reconciling Ministries Network posted something to social media today. We have a slide here I'd like to show. The text is kind of small, so I'll read it to you. It says, "Happy Mother's Day to every mother, every grandmother, every caretaker, chosen families, queer mamas, genderqueer and trans parents, incarcerated moms, those who wanted to but were unable to be mothers, moms who have lost their children, and children who have lost their mothers." This is a beautiful inclusive way of recognizing some of the challenge that comes with Mother's Day, even when we wish to celebrate. And I submit that we might gain some insight from our sacred texts. Now, there's not a whole lot of Mother's Day celebrations in our Bibles, but there are times where there is a mixture of both celebration and grief. And I wonder if we might explore this today, especially as part of Ascension Sunday, as we might recognize the emotional roller coaster, the emotional journey that the 12 disciples went on with Jesus. If you imagine those disciples who may have experienced no small amount of trepidation, but also no small amount of elation as Jesus called them into a prophetic kind of ministry, that they spent 3 years as the closest companions for the ones that they identified as Messiah. And then to see him tortured and executed. If they saw it, if they weren't one of the ones who scattered and was so far away not to have had to experience any of those, and then yet for those who scattered, that sense of guilt. And then again, the elation is as Jesus conquers death, as he's resurrected. And he spends another period of time, we call it the great 50 days of Easter. In Acts it tells us 40 days where Jesus continued to be with his disciples to teach, to be with them, to share in that fellowship, and then to learn that he's leaving again. Do we understand this sort of mixture of emotions, of elation of having known him, and deep grief that he would leave? And so I read to you this scripture out of the book of Acts. It's the opening verses of the book of Acts. If you remember, we've talked about this before, but most scholars agree that the book of Acts was written by the same author as the book of Luke, and there's a particular word that helps us to connect these two. In Acts, it's the very first word, Theophilus. It's a Greek word that means one who loves God. It's a letter that's addressed, or a book that's addressed to those who love God in the same way that the Gospel of Luke was addressed. Theophilus, the first scroll I wrote concerned everything Jesus did and taught from the beginning. See, the author is referencing this first scroll of Luke. Right up to the day when he was taken up into heaven. Before he was taken up, working in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus instructed the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed them that he was alive with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, speaking to them about God's kingdom. While they were eating together, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. He said, "This is what you heard from me. John baptized with water, but in only a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." As a result, those who had gathered together asked Jesus, "Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now?" You know how I hear that question? Can we stay more fully connected? Can I be even more connected to you? Can I be even more connected to God? Jesus replied, "It isn't for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After Jesus said these things, as they were watching, he was lifted up on a cloud and took him out of their sight. While he was going away, and as they were staring toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood next to them. They were Galileans. They said, "Galileans, why are you standing here looking toward heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven." This number 40 is one that stands out to us, that Jesus spent 40 days with the disciples, and we might remember the number 40 from other parts of our Bibles, whether it was Moses spending 40 years in the desert with the Israelites. Before that, if we think about 40 days and nights of rain, if we think about Jesus going into the wilderness for 40 days as a time of preparation, but also a time of temptation. A little more obscure, you might know that both Moses and Elijah spent time in the wilderness for 40 days. But there's something different here Because Jesus says, I'm going to leave, but you will not be left alone. And I wonder if this is instructive for us, who, as we celebrate Mother's Day, might have those moments where we feel alone. Where certainly we lift up this opportunity of celebration, of love, of grace, of joy, of hope. That for those of us who feel some mixture along with those positive emotions, that we must leave room for this hope. Back in September, when I was realizing how long it had been since my mom died, I wrote a few words that I'd wish to share with you. The parts about her that I truly remember have to do with her presence, her love, her laugh, her music. I learned not long ago about her intense love for college football. She's a Missouri Tigers fan. Anybody? That's all right. Even to the point, this is funny, even to the point of listening to a game in her hospital room right after delivering one of her children. We have it on video. I learned the family scandal that resulted in her following some actor halfway across the country, convinced that she'd marry him. And she did. And she had two beautiful daughters and a mostly obnoxious older brother. And here is where I focus. The deepness of her love, the compassion of her heart, the deepness of her faith, the music of her voice, the love of her entire being. And hers is a love that remains. My friends, however we celebrate Mother's Day, however we experience the idea of Ascension Sunday, we must remember the promise that love remains. When Jesus was carried up into heaven, he offered the promise of the Holy Spirit that would continue to be a companion. In the Gospel of John, we would say an advocate, one who continues to be a supporting presence of love and peace and hope, but also a presence that continues to empower and to nurture and to guide. However we celebrate this day, however we think about the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, we might have the opportunity to be open to the continuing presence of the divine. There was a story shared last service as David McCormick shared something in when he joined the church. He talked about a woman who he saw most mornings on his daily walk down near the Embarcadero. A woman who is homeless and who spends every single morning standing next to a sidewalk and simply greeting people. Not asking for anything, simply greeting people. And I submit to you, my friends, that in these experiences we might see the eyes and the spirit of the divine. When we have a conversation, even a conversation with someone with whom we disagree, which may not necessarily change minds, ours, or the other person's, but might give us a clear understanding of the identity of the person, of the perspective of the person with whom we communicate, even in those times we might see the eyes and the spirit of the divine. When we look into the eyes of a loved one to see that spirit of hope and peace and joy, we might see the eyes and the spirit of the divine. My friends, when we think about our loved ones who may not even be with us now, whether our memory is direct or the only memory we have is of photographs and old VHS tapes, even here we might see the eyes and the spirit of the divine. My friends, I invite you to celebrate today. I invite you to celebrate the ascension of the Christ. I invite you to celebrate mothers in whatever form persons have been mothers or mentoring figures to you. I invite you to do so even if you experience grief or challenge. I certainly invite you to do so when your memories are filled with love and hope. And in all of these cases, to seek out the eyes and the spirit of the divine, to experience and know that which may be difficult to see. I invite you to know the eyes and the spirit of the divine. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we are grateful for this opportunity to be in fellowship and community this day, knowing that you are gathered together with us and in our midst. Continue to give us the strength to see you and to experience you, to remind us that we are your children, and that it is the deepness of your love that continues to bind us together. It is your love that gives us hope. It is your love that gives us faith. It is your love that gives us the opportunity to see the eyes and the spirit of the divine. We pray in the name of the one who has ascended, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Friends, we turn now to a time of prayer as we lift up the prayers of this community. Holy and gracious God, thank you for this community, for this collection of persons with differing backgrounds and experiences, that we might be reminded that as we gather together in the richness of diversity, that all together we are your children, that we together might be an expression of your deep love for the world. God, we share all these prayers with you and any that have been left unsaid as we join together in the prayer taught to us by your Son, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.